You may want to.
I know.
We're starting.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for turning up bright and early this morning. Welcome to day three of TechEd. Today, we're going to talk about apps, and more apps. They wouldn't actually allow me to use that as the title, but essentially that's what it is. It's application management with Configuration Manager and Intune. Do appreciate you coming here bright and early. I'll let everybody still wander in. Obviously, breakfast was good. A couple of shows of hands. How many people have been to previous sessions on Configuration Manager this week?
Quite a lot.
Excellent, excellent. Okay. Everybody have their coffee? All right. Anybody want to go get me another cup of coffee? Okay. All right. My name's Craig Morris. I'm a Senior Program Manager with the product group. I've been with the product group for Configuration Manager for around 13 years now. I started working on application management and the application model specifically for Configuration Manager back in 08. I'll let Heidi introduce herself.
Hello, my name is Heidi Chang. I'm a Senior Program Manager on the product team as well. I've been working on Windows Intune for 4 years and started working on Config Manager since last year.
Yeah. So between the two of us, we've basically been continuously working on the app model for Configuration Manager since its inception in 08. Let's get started. So one of the things we want to touch on is in this session, we're very much going to focus on what's new in the application model. We're not going to necessarily bore you with what the application model is, what are all the various deployment types that we've had for the last 5 to 6 years. It's very much going to focus on what's new. A lot of focus, obviously, is on mobile device management. I've got some of the marketing slides, if you like to call them, first up, but I'll try and make them more tailored towards application management and kind of go through them as fast as humanly possible. Topics for today, so we're going to talk a little bit about kind of what's going on in the enterprise space, especially around application management. We'll then talk about what's actually been released in the products, since the last 6 or 9 months. And then we're going to talk about what's actually going to be coming in the future around application management. Challenge for today. Challenge is probably, you've seen this slide already numerous times, but it's how do we make sure that users can use whatever device they know and love to be productive while making sure that our corporate data isn't walking out the door or in some cases walking out of the coffee shop. When we started the application model, I really don't want to spend too much time on this, but I think it just ties back so much to the application model. When we started the application model work back in 08, we had this very simple premise, which was we wanted to make sure that user X could get app Y. And that hasn't changed. The only thing that's really changed is that they're now using multiple different types of devices. I mean, back in 08, we had to worry about PCs and a handful of Macs. Applications have changed and grown. You'll definitely see that in the demonstrations we have today, and the number of deployment types that we have has vastly grown since RTM. And then we need to make sure we protect the data that's associated with those applications. As you can see, it's always very confusing. Okay, so mobile device management. We want to make sure that we can... one of the first things we did with the application model was allow you to then have all of these deployment types under the umbrella of one application. So regardless of the type of device the user was using, they could always make sure they had the app that they needed to be able to do their work. So this continues that story whereby we can make sure that you only have a single way of managing applications for your user. You don't necessarily have to have whole different types of processes to deploy an app VApp versus an AppX app, for example. We want to make sure the users can get access to those applications, whether they're actually being pushed to those devices, and we've got some great news on that we've been working on in the last 6 to 9 months, as well as them being able to pull those applications down as well. And then lastly, obviously, we need to protect that data. So when we talk about some of the things that are going on in the roadmap, we've got some great stories around some of the work that we've done, and Brad and Julie demoed some of the early work that we've done around how do we provide managed-based application types for things like Office. Just to kind of level set on our architecture for the two products, so we have Configuration Manager and Intune. As a customer, you may choose to use either Intune Standalone, which is able to manage pretty much most devices from Windows 7 up, including Windows Phone 8, iOS, Android, as well as RT, 8.1, Windows 7, etc. Alternatively, if you've already got an investment in Configuration Manager 2012, which I show of hands, how many people already have 2012 deployed? Awesome. How many people are still on 07? That's even better. That's good news. All right. So leveraging the power that we have with Intune in the cloud, we're able to connect that to Configuration Manager and really extend the capabilities that Configuration Manager as far as managing these devices, not just on your corporate network, but also in the cloud. As far as managing Windows PCs, obviously we do a great job of managing those PCs as well as embedded in Mac on your on-premise networks, as well as having the capability of managing similar type devices such as Windows 8, 8.1, Windows Phone, iOS, and Android over the internet. For those of you who are used to Configuration Manager Speak, for example, I always try to think of Intune and the connection to Intune as kind of like a remote management point and distribution point. It's kind of way I like to think about it without getting too complicated. So this slide, when we first built the application model, had three arrows. I think now it would probably, if we actually added all the arrows together, it's something like 20 to 25 different application deployment types that we can have. So we've added a whole bunch of capabilities. One of the things we're going to touch on today is kind of like those the application store links, as well as the web apps, as well as some things around the Apex platform as well. So anything else you wanted to add on this slide in particular? I think that covers most things. Whole bunch more platforms we've added, whole bunch more deployment types we've added, so we'll move on. So what are we going to talk about today? So we're going to talk about Windows 8.1 and the Windows 8.1 update. So there are some differences with the update and some additional capabilities that we do have with that update that came out. We're going to talk about what's going on with Application V. I know a lot of companies have investments in App V today and kind of what we've done as far as continued that integration. And then we're going to talk about some of the mobile app management. So we're going to talk about the things we've added in the last 6 to 9 months. So, for example, required install and uninstall is now available. Heidi's going to go into that as well. Talk about Windows Phone 8.1. We have updated the service just recently as of basically last week. So for any new customers that are signing up to the Intune service as of now, they will have access to be able to manage their 8.1 phone devices. For existing customers, that should be coming in the next week or two as we roll out the upgrades to the service. We'll talk about web applications, and then we'll touch on some of the changes and updates we've made to the company portal. All right, so let's jump straight into it. Now, I just wanted to point out, so we have about 45, 60 minutes worth of slides, so there will be a ton of time at the end for questions. What I'd really love to do at that session, at that time, is talk about, you know, what are the things that you're seeing with regard to the application model, what are the great things you like about it, what are some of the things you don't like about it, what would you like to see next about it, for example. So we're currently always, as our cadence has increased, so for those of you that don't know, we're shipping updates both to Configuration Manager and Intune on a fairly regular basis, something between 3 to 6 months on a continuous basis. So we're always looking to find out what people are looking for, what are the gaps, what do we still need to address with this fairly new application model that we have. So we will definitely have time at the end for a whole bunch of questions, so please stay around for that. I really want to make sure we have time to gather your feedback. Right, applications with 8.1. So what's new? So we now have not only the Apex being able to deploy an Apex to 8.1, but we can also deploy application bundles. Application bundles allows you to have kind of like a core app package, as well as some resource files or resource packages associated with that. Things like language packs if you're used to doing traditional MSI type deployments. So with both products, we're able to actually deploy those. So with Configuration Manager, we're able to deploy both the Apex package as well as a typical Apex file application itself. They can either be linked as deep links to Windows Store, or they can be installed as a sideloaded application. Same is true for Intune standalone. We can deploy them either as a sideloaded application or through the store. And one of the things just to point out is that if you do deploy these as in your line of business applications, for example, as sideloaded applications, We can't determine the applicability at the time that they're actually downloaded, so we may have to download the entire package and then determine what actually needs to be installed on that device. So something just to be aware of. Obviously, we can do those applicability checks if you're doing linked applications into the store. All right, so sideloading requirements. I know this has been a big topic for a lot of people. How do we do this whole sideloading thing? What are the steps and what do we actually need? All right, to do sideloading of applications, you obviously first need your code signing certificate. You need to purchase that. That just means that when the device gets that application, it recognizes it as a secure application. You need to configure the registry. Now, depending on, and we've got another slide that comes up straight after this, but depending on whether you're using the Configuration Manager or Intune standalone agent, or you're using the OMADM inbuilt MDM management agent, determines whether you need to actually set this registry key or whether it's automatically done for you. And the last thing you need is the sideloading activation key. All right, whoops. I only clicked it once, so it jumped. All right, so what's new? So with the Windows 8.1 update, I know there's been a lot of feedback on that the enterprise, when you have a domain join machine, you didn't need to use a sideloading key. We've actually been able to make sure that that is true with the Windows update, 8.1 update, which shipped...
Just recently,
yes, in the last month or two. That has also been brought down to the professional version of Windows 8.1 as well. So if you have those, you don't necessarily need a sideloader key. If you're using, and we'll jump ahead. Where's it? Come on. There we go. Fill it in. Okay. Build.
Yeah.
Why didn't it build?
Yeah, no, you're good.
Oh. Okay. So first of all, you need to obtain the sideloading key. You'll see that we've got two panels there. We've got one which talks about Configuration Manager and Windows Intune as the full client, and then you've got the MDM channel. So depending on which client you're actually putting onto these 8.1 devices determines the steps you need to follow. So in either case, you'll need to obtain the sideloading key. Obviously, if it's a domain join device, you don't need that. Okay, second thing you need to do, if you're using, I'll just say full client instead of saying the entire thing all the time. If you have the full client, you also need to build a script or build a software package that will then call the SL management VBS script. That's already in the it's already in the client itself, but you do need to make a call to and then deploy this so that it makes a call and actually uploads that key to the client. If you're using the MDM agent, that is done for you. You'll just go into the console through the UI experience and be able to add that sideloading key. You'll also need to create a script that then sets that registry key, which was on the previous slide. So between this slide and the last slide, when you go home, you'll have all the information you need to go through this process. This is automatically done if you're using the MDM channel. Next thing you'll need to do is obtain a code signing cert. I think at the time, this takes about 2 to 3 weeks, so something to bear in mind as you're planning your deployments or planning your upgrades, something to bear in mind how long it will take to actually get that code signing key. Then you deploy them either through DCM or through a software package and deploy it to the root store for those devices. If you upload it into the configuration manager or Intune console when you're using the MDM channel, this would automatically be pushed out to those devices. And then lastly, there we go. Obviously create the app, set the requirement rules, and then deploy the app. So, obviously, the first three things need to be done as a one-time thing for all of those clients. The last two, obviously, once you get to the point where you're actually using the app, you're actually deploying the app, you just do that on a continuous daily basis as you need to deploy additional apps. Anything you want to add? Cover that okay?
Yep.
All right. So that was kind of what we're doing with the AppX bundles and what are the updates for 8.1. I'm going to hand off to Heidi now. She's going to probably delve into something that most of you are very interested in, that is troubleshooting application installation, especially around MDM devices. It's a little bit different than what we've done in the past, where you have thousands of logs and you can see every intricate detail about how those applications are installed. So I will hand the clicker over to you. I will have my coffee. I will stand by if you need me.
All right. Thank you, Craig. Yeah, so let's get into the details of how you can do troubleshooting for MDM-managed devices on Windows. So for each install, you actually write, the MDM agent writes to a registry. So in the registry, you can actually find a lot of You can actually find a lot of information that's written into the registry. Includes like the job status. I'll cover the job status in the next slide with more details, and also like content, your content location, and Bits job. So because the agent actually leveraging Bits for downloading, and so based on this, you can actually find a lot of information, and some information can be actually pretty descriptive, like the errors. So for in this screenshot, you actually can see. The Apex itself wasn't signed. Was signed using a different co-signing cert that the client doesn't have, so that's why it throws an error.
Yeah. So make sure you download this PowerPoint presentation for your troubleshooting in the future. If nothing else, this slide and the next slide, if you want to be able to troubleshoot those application deployments, this is what you need.
Yep. So the next slide actually outlines. The error code, the codes that the MDM agent writes to the registry. So it starts from the initialization and then the download progress. If download fails, it's 30. And if download completes, then it will get to the installation. And it will tell you if install fails or completed. And for uninstall, it also tells you if it's in progress, failed, or completed. So you have a you have a lot of information just by looking at the job status code. And also, the package itself could also be some problematic. You can actually see like sideloading requirements not being met, and that's an indicator too. So that's the status code that you can find from the registry. The next one is around download and install. As I mentioned earlier, that the inbox OMADM agent, it leveraged the Bits service on the client. So each download actually has its unique Bits job. Status 20 and 30 covers the Bits job, the completion or the failure. And it also configured the Bits to do the retry. So I'm not going to just go through those numbers, but you have the information here.
And notice you also have links to the various tools that you can use to do that troubleshooting over and above what we've kind of provided here as well. So
yeah. And for the installation failures, the usual suspects are kind of like the prerequisites not met. Craig has already gone through those three requirements. So sideloading requirements needs to be met on the client. Also, some packages also need a dependency framework to be present on the client. So if it's not installed, then it will fail the installation as well. And sometimes the package full name just doesn't match with the application job, and then that could also fail the installation. So these are the things you would be looking for. The next one, this one is typical for when you're using the company portal to do available install. So when the user tries to pull the app down and install it. And the Windows notification service does a tickle to the MDM agent for it to do the for it to start installation. But somehow it just doesn't happen. So you don't find the job entry in the registry that we just showed. And so that's an indicator. And the possible cause of that is that probably somehow the client lost the connectivity. For the notification service to wake up the agent, and you have another registry key to check if that's really the case. So moving on to the next one, this is very config manager specific. As Craig covered the high level architecture, you know that config manager has an Intune connector connects to the Intune service. So in that connector. We have the uploader, downloader, and you have the log files to check. So when, say, the application deployed as available install, but somehow you just don't see it on the company portal, then that probably it's something related to upload being failed. Or or you don't see the job written to the registry. So you can look for those logs, like the DMP uploader log. And sometimes when uploading the content to the cloud storage, it also could be problematic. So that's when you can check the outgoing content manager log file. So we talked about a few things that you can look at when you don't see the app installed correctly. So now I'm going to do some demos for app deployments to Windows 8.1. All right, so now I'm in the Config Manager 2012 R2 console. First of all, I'd like to show you the Apex bundle that Craig just talked about and how it looks like. So I'm going to be here, I think. So this Bing translator is actually a store app. So the concept of Apex bundle is really for the store to distribute the package efficiently, because it's the store client is smart enough to scan the applicability based on the architecture, the locale, and also the high definition assets it needs. So within the Apex bundle, I actually made a copy of that, and I'm going to unzip it so that I can crack open it and let you see. So inside, you can have multiple languages. You have different scale and different architecture. So next, I'm going to create an app using the Apex bundle DT. So it's still the same deployment type as Apex. We just extend based on that, and we can do the upload. So I'm going to point to the correct UNC path. So this is my demo app. Okay, so Config Manager at the upload time, it actually also cracks open the package, and it looks for the requirement rules. In this case, it's applicable to all these OS platforms, so it automatically generates the requirement rules for you. So now the application is created, and I'm ready to deploy. To user group. And I'm going to select the Intune DP as available install. And I'm done. So that completes the creation and deployment of the app. As you might have already been aware, that the Config Manager syncs with Intune Cloud Service like every 5 minutes. So for the interest of time, I'm not going to wait for that long. I'm going to show you an app that I just used the same method to create and deploy. And I'm going to show you the client side. So this is our latest company portal for Windows platform. After I sign in, I could see the apps that my admin targeted to me. So now I'm wearing the information hat, information worker hat. So as I can already see a bunch of apps deployed to me made available so that I can pick and choose what kind of apps I want to install. And I also pre-staged an app that failed on the installation. So it actually tells me that installation failed and I get a notification.
You probably should have known by the title that it's probably going to be a bad app.
Yeah, that's my personal indicator of the demo. And of course, I have a good one. So that's the one that I'm going to show you the install experience.
It's great when your administrator tells you that it's going to be a bad installation experience.
Yeah. So obviously, I'm not really a good admin. and the connectivity is a bit slow. Don't know. How much time do I have? Well, maybe I can switch to the registry while we're waiting. So that's the job DB that I talked about earlier. You can already see that I installed a bunch of apps here just for demo practice. And under each job, I could see all this information. For this particular one, the bad one that I showed earlier on the company portal, I could actually see, oh, it's a surge failure.
You can also see that it's showing that there's dependencies associated with that application as well, and check on the current status of those dependencies as well.
I don't know what happens with the internet. Somehow it just doesn't show.
This is where you hope that the network connections work.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, it's probably a problem if you can't bring up Bing.
Trust me, I tested this right before we started the presentation. You just have to take my word for that you will actually see the app details page, and you can do the download. You can do the installation.
All right, we'll jump ahead, and we'll come back to that and see if it... Well, apparently that would be a problem. So.
Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah, I apologize for that. I don't know what went wrong with the connectivity. So, I think that's pretty much what I wanted to cover as far as the demo is concerned, if my company portal works better.
Yep, we'll keep trying that later, and we'll come back to it. So why don't we jump ahead to the next session, and I'll see if I can get it to connect to the internet. It's always a good thing.
So next topic, I'm going to talk about AppV integration. As you might have heard, the AppV team just released their latest and greatest AppV 5.0 Service Pack 2. So in that release, AppV team added the support to Windows 8.1. And here I'm going to talk about the integration. As you know, that Config Manager has a great history of deep integration with AppV. So it's still the case here with AppV 5.0 SP2. So Config Manager 2012 SP1, if you have to really install the cumulative update 4 before you use AppV 5 SP2. And for Config Manager 2012 R2, you will need the cumulative update 1 for that. So the impact that AppV 5 SP2 had to the Config Manager 2012 SP1 and R2 is that it supports the Windows 8.1, and it has the in-use upgrade scenario. So that's on the AppV side, when the app is in use, and the admin push the updates to that app. Now you don't see the pop-up that you need to close your app. You can still continue to use it. It's just next time you have to sign out and then sign back in, and then you will see the latest version of the app. And also, we added support to the functionality of uninstall. So That's the new thing, the SP2. The next is the performance improvements that we did on the config manager side that helps with the installation experience. So combining with the, like, we skip pre and post enforcement detection and the conditional publishing server removal, combining with those two improvements, now the installation time is like shortened down by 7 to 10 seconds per each app installation. And we also updated to the App V5 client app model in the SDK. So it does the auto upgrade for App V4 4.6 RTM and SP1 to SP2 so that it can leverage the coexistence, and then it will upgrade to App V5 client. And the detection mechanism also changed for App V4.6. Now, instead of detecting the product good, it now looks for the version, so it has more flexibility, and it supports all versions of App V5, all releases of App V5. The next slide shows you the support matrix. So, as I mentioned earlier, for you to use App V5 SP2. You need to remember, first you apply the CU4 for Config Manager 2012 SP1, or you will need the CU1 for R2. So now I'm going to jump ahead to talk about what's new in our mobile device management in the app space. So a lot of exciting things going on in that space. So this is an overview of what Config Manager does with the mobile device management in the app space. So we have so many different deployment types covering all these different platforms. So for line of business apps, we support Windows 8, Windows 8.1. And keep in mind, in Windows 8.1, the inbox OMADM agent shipped with all three client additions, so not just RT, but also Pro and Enterprise SKUs for both x86 and x64. And also Windows Phone 8, and now the latest Windows Phone 8.1, iOS, Android. So available install has already been supported since SP1, and in R2, we added required install and uninstall. So, and that's also kind of platform dependent with the behaviors that end user could see. So for example, Windows 8 didn't support required install and uninstall. Windows 8.1 now, Windows Phone 8.1 now does support it. And for iOS and Android, when you push an app, it doesn't actually silently install on the user's device. It actually has a pop-up for the user to see to get the user consent before it actually installs. And for uninstall, Android requires user consent as well. So that's just something to keep in mind. And of course, we have in-console monitoring, just like what we did for the classic PC apps. And for the deep-linked apps, all these public stores, we support the admin to publish the deep links toward to these stores. So that's probably a matrix for you to refer to later on. So the connectivity?
It looks like, I got the connectivity back again, so okay. I don't know why it dropped off the network.
All right. So for the app required install and uninstall, because of the bring your own device trend that we see in the IT space nowadays, we understand that IT pros sometimes want to be very conscious about what apps they push to the personal devices of their users. So we added this new attribute called device ownership to differentiate between company versus personal. So the admins now have a choice that they can use, leverage that that attribute, either build a collection based on that or use it as a global condition in the app model, so that you can be very specific about what app you want to push to what devices. And for targeting in Config Manager, we support both user collection and and device collections for required install and uninstall. And we're working on the same thing on the Windows Intune standalone side, so that should be coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, so we have a whole set of slides on what's going to come up as far as what we're doing in the future, so we'll talk a little bit more about that. But as we're going through this, we wanted to also make sure you had an idea of some of the things that we're rebuilding for the future as well. So
for siloing Windows Phone apps, the requirements doesn't change, so they stay the same. But what the good news we can bring to you is that we heard a lot of feedback from you guys from our field that for a trial account, you need to first procure a Symantec co-signing certificate for say $300. So that's a big thing to jump through. So nowadays, now you don't really need to get a co-signing certificate if you're just trying out Config Manager or Intune. So you can actually download the support tool from Microsoft Download Center. And in that support tool, it has a sample company portal app and three Windows Phone apps for you to test siloading. And for you to enable siloading on the Config Manager side, you can just run the tool. So the tool will automatically populate the application enrollment token for you. That AET is actually to really turn on the siloading capability on Windows Phone. And on the Intune side, all you need to do is simply upload that sample company portal app. And then behind the scenes, the AET token will be automatically generated for you. Because Windows Intune doesn't have the SDK layer like Config Manager can leverage. So we'd encourage you to try out this experience if you haven't got a chance to do so. Now with Windows Phone 8.1 released, you probably can get a lot of great things and then you really want to try out. So for Windows Phone 8.1, the support is added to the Config Manager side. And I think Craig and Dave talked about console extension in their overview session that without upgrading your entire hierarchy or your product, you can actually incrementally add more mobile device management features. So Windows Phone 8.1 is an extension that we pushed to in production as we speak. So I'd encourage you to try. So with the console extension installed, it actually now supports required install and uninstall. And the last part, the Apex bundle, Apex and Apex bundle, just like what Windows does. So the phone now supports the same format. Right now, it's still mutually exclusive. So the phone Apex doesn't really run on Windows. And Windows Apex doesn't run on the phone. So to avoid any confusion, at the publishing time, Config Manager also does the automatic check for you and then populate the requirement rules. I'll show that in a later demo. But just like what I showed earlier for Windows Apex publishing, so it just narrows down to the applicable platforms. So for siloing iOS, requirements stay the same. One thing to keep in mind is that to silo their apps, you still have to go through the mobile portal instead of using our latest sleek company portal, because Apple actually imposed some limitation that they don't allow apps within an app to be installed. So that's how we got around it. And we also added iOS support, so you can specify iOS 7 in the applicability rules. For Android, what we added in the past year is the direct deep management on the Android phones. So it's managing Android 4.0 and up. All you needed to do for siloing is really to just co-sign it to make sure it's trusted. And the installation actually goes through the native company portal app.
Yeah. So for Android, what we did is, you know, for Windows Phone, for 8.1, et cetera, as well as iOS, they have native manageability capabilities already in the operating system itself. For Android, that was not the case. So we ended up building our own management agent for that platform. Now, when we start talking about things like Samsung Knox and things like that, they do actually have native support for manageability. So we're actually able to leverage some of those capabilities in the Knox support. So just something to be aware of. So we spent quite a bit of time working on how we can support Android devices in the last 6 to 9 months.
So next, I'm going to talk about the web apps. As we heard that in a lot of IT organizations, you actually have a lot of apps running just on the web browsers, and you want your users to know about those apps. So what we added in 2012 R2 is a new deployment type to support web apps. And not only you can your end user can actually see the web app, they can actually install a shortcut on their devices so that they can always go back and use, and they can actually tell the difference between a web app versus other apps on their devices. And the behavior is a bit different among those platforms. So for Windows 8.1, iOS, Android, they can have some sort of shortcut type of concept. iOS, they call it web clip. And on Android, it's a widget. And for Windows Phone 8, it's still just a launch experience. So you click on it, it's a link, and you can get to that web app. So on the Intune side, we have the same feature parity, same behavior on those devices.
Yep. So if you've got a whole bunch of websites that you want to make sure your users can go to, this is a great way to actually surface those, especially for people that are not necessarily that savvy on these devices. They always want to think of something as an app. So rather than them having to load up the native browser that might be on those devices, you can provide essentially an app, and it looks like an app to them. They can click on it; it automatically goes to that URL for your local company information. Maybe you've got some HTML5 based applications you want to provide to them. So rather than them having to remember, what's the URL I need to go to again? It basically surfaces it to them as an application. So this is some really good work as far as making it simpler for your users to get to the company applications and data that they need to get to.
And next slide, this is really just showing off our latest and greatest company portal interfaces on different platforms. As you can see, it has Windows Phone, iOS, and Android company portal native apps. And we also added some feature improvements so that now you can promote an app that in your workspace, you really want your users to know, this is a featured app, so it will be right in front of their face. They can just see it. And also, some companies are very, very cautious about the privacy. They always want the user to be able to see the privacy link, so you can publish that through the company portal. And we also have a web-based PC portal that's pretty much in feature parity with the native app. And on the Windows Phone side, we also added app approval workflow. That workflow right now is available through App Catalog, and now you can also see it in Windows and Windows Phone company portals. So next slide kind of give you the summary of all these different portals, where you can find them. So some portals actually support siloading. And some of them you have to go to the public store to get them. For example, for the config manager, we have an on-prem version of the company portal. It look and feel just exactly the same like the Windows Intune, the cloud-based one. But on the back end, it talks to completely different services. But we are very conscious about making it very consistent across the platforms so that the experience look very similar. And for Windows Phone, right now you can only siloed your company portal. So this is just a reference slide for you to use later on. Okay, now we can show the Windows Phone 8.1 app deployment, and I'll show you the company portals and how you can publish web apps. So going back to the, I lost. What happened to the network?
I think we dropped the connection.
We got dropped.
Yeah.
That's not good. Well, I still have this. I don't need to remote in. I can just show it on my VM. So at least I can show the publishing side. Come on. There we go. So I'm back to the config manager admin console, and I'm ready to create Windows Phone 8.1 Apex app. So I'm going to leverage the app model. I'm just going to add a new deployment type. In here, it's still the exact same deployment type to use for Phone Apex. So it, at this time, it actually already looks at the metadata of the app. I'll just keep the name. And it sees it's just only applicable to Windows Phone 8.1. So with this kind of OS applicability, the users won't have any confusion. Admin won't have any confusion. User will only see the apps that are applicable to their devices. So for example, for this app, they won't be able to see that on Windows PCs, but they will only see that on the phone. So I got that deployed. Now I'm going to the... This is an emulator I have for Windows Phone 8.1. And this is the company portal. I'm going to sign in if I have the connectivity. Then I need to change to, but it shows Wi-Fi. I don't know why. Sorry for the glitch. Seems to be back here. And let me see this one on the phone side. It seems to be back. Let me see for the iOS. At least I can show the company portals. So I'll switch to iPad. And sorry about the connectivity. I don't know what's going on, but somehow it doesn't get connected. But I'll just go ahead showing our company portal on the iPad. I don't want to show the password, so I'm just switch back.
You can pay me later if you want to find out what the password is. Make it out to C Ash.
So now I'm logged on to the iOS company portal, and I could already see a few apps that my admin published for me. And from here, I can also see the devices that I already enrolled into the service. So I have an iPad, I have an iPhone, and also an Android phone. So this instance connects to live service of our production, and it actually talks to an Intune standalone account. I was planning to show you a little bit also of on the Windows Intune console side. What? There we go.
Do you want to switch back to this one?
I didn't. Sorry. Yeah, so this is the Windows Intune admin console, and these are the apps that I already created and deployed. So you can see this is a web app that shows up here, and it's a web app. And I'm actually going to also show the actual publishing experience on Windows Intune side. So this is the portal I wanted my end users to see. This is the Microsoft Dynamics site. And I'm going to pick an external link for publishing, and with the URL points to it, publisher Microsoft. And this is where I can show it as a featured app. So just for the easy discoverability from my end users. And I can also add a logo to it and upload. So the creation of the app is pretty straightforward and easy. On the CM side, create a web app is also pretty straightforward. So I'm going to create one here. This config manager talks to a separate instance. It's our beta environment. Just type one that's really easy to use. So as you can see, web app public creation is very straightforward. So on the Intune side, I actually don't need to wait. Well, as soon as I deploy it, I can see it on the device. So now I'm going to just deploy to this user group. It's available install. Let's see, on the iPad. I have another password I don't want to show. Sorry for switching back and forth. So, featured apps. Now, this is the one I just published, so I can do install for a web clip on the iPad. Now it does the installation. So I guess we're a little bit behind because of the demo thing. So it also has a notification, and you can see on the upper right hand corner to tell you that something's in progress. Okay. And switching back. Yeah. Now it's a web clip installed on the iPad. Click on it. You will get to the website. So that completes the web app experience. And I can also show you the Android experience here. Let me get the password first. Oh, it's okay.
Let's move it up a bit. There we go.
Okay. Sorry.
I'll be charging by per password, just in case you're wondering.
Oops. What's going on today? I lost Wi-Fi for this one. Oop. Now it's back. Yeah, there you go. You can actually see the same web app showing up on the Android company portal. And the Android company portal, as you can see, that the look and feel also is on the design side. We're very conscious about making them pretty consistent. So the look and feel, they're also very similar to what I just showed on the iOS side. Okay. Let me give it one more try on the Windows Phone. Please.
Oh. Guessing that's a no.
Yep. The demo god doesn't like me today.
This is the one thing you can't actually test when you're sitting in your office at Microsoft is connectivity.
Even in the speaker room, I did this early this morning.
All right,
I guess then.
Next.
Next slide, that's you then.
Next slide's me. Right, so we're basically just to give you a summary of where we're at. So we talked a little bit about kind of what's going on in the market and where kind of we think about apps and how they all play into the ecosystem. Heidi talked about kind of what we've been doing in the last 6 to 9 months. So now we're going to switch gears a little bit and talk about what is actually coming in the future, which is why we always make sure this is the slides at the end to make sure we keep you around. All right, so moving forward, you've probably seen this slide before. We've made a few changes to this slide just to highlight what's going on in the application space. One of the big announcements, obviously, with Brad and Julie was around being able to provide the Office applications as a set of managed apps. She was able to show you how you can block things like cut and paste, for example, between a managed app and an unmanaged app. I'm not quite sure if that's the terminology that's going to end up taking off in the market, but for now we call them managed and unmanaged apps. We also provide some wrapping capabilities, so if you've got line of business applications, you also want to essentially provide that managed experience so they can't necessarily post your financial data onto Facebook. You can do that with your iOS and Android line of business applications as well. We're also working on, for the next release, the ability to do provisioning through the iOS VPP, through the volume purchase channel. So that should be fairly good news. And then also continuing to provide the experience being able to do a VPN connectivity on a per app basis. So if you've got a VPN connection specifically for one type of application, which may be a different profile, for example, than another application, you're actually able to assign what VPN connection you need to use. And then lastly, we talked about the required app installation and uninstallation. So kind of continuing that, following through with that for Windows Intune standalone. The other things that are kind of also somewhat associated is the protected data updates. So, for example, we will be also be shipping a protected web browser, ability to do audio, video, PDF, et cetera, managed applications as well. So as you get your email, the end user gets their attachments that may be using some of these formats, you'll be able to make sure that they're doing that in a managed way as well, rather than any particular web browser that they're using. We continue to work with the rest of the product group, obviously, to make sure that when you need to do a selective wipe, all of those applications and the documents associated with those applications are removed when we actually do that wipe. This is kind of a new thing that we've kind of started working on as well, is that we're seeing a lot of the tablets, for example, starting to be used more in a corporate environment and corporate-owned, using specifically for task worker-type experiences or even kiosk experiences. So there's some interesting form factors that are coming out. So the when these are deployed into a company, though, they often have some specific requirements around them. First of all, obviously, is bulk enrollment. But as this applies to applications specifically, focuses on a couple of things. First of all, being able to deploy policies and applications to the devices itself. So no longer having to make sure that you have a user associated with the device, you'll be able to deploy those applications and policies directly to that device. You'll also be able to lock down that application so it's only able to run certain URLs, certain applications. So that's where things like the application install, allow, and deny list. So you'll be able to say which applications can run, which applications cannot run on those devices. And you'll be able to get information about which of those types of applications are actually running. So that's kind of what we're working on for the future, specifically around the app space. And with that, just a quick review, kind of the marketing slide, if you like, as we like to call it. Basically, we continue to invest in being able to provide the various types of applications, making sure they're managed applications to those end users, and providing them with a very simple experience so they don't necessarily have to think, well, is this an MSI? Is this not an MSI? Which device am I on? But just making it easy. The users can go to a simple portal. They see the application. They don't need to worry about, you know, how they're actually going to end up getting that application. Not only is it applications, but also links to web-based applications as well. So I'm providing that link of using a managed browser and then being able to also provide that web link will be a great experience for them moving forward.
Demo is back.
And your demos are back up? Okay. One thing I did want to touch on is the Enterprise Mobility Suite. We talked a little bit about this already this week, but it's a really great suite. It's kind of what we think of as kind of your core cow you had for an on-premise environment. But basically what it provides you with is the Azure Active Directory Premium. It allows you to do things like group management, obviously, self-service password changes. So the end user can actually manage which groups, which DLs they belong to, for example, as well as do their password reset. For those that have been administrators for a very long time, you know how time-consuming it can be to fund a help desk just to change an end user's password. With Azure Active Directory, you will actually be able to, and Premium, you'll actually be able to let the end user change their password. Obviously, it also includes Intune. And then lastly, includes the right management service. So one of the great things about that is that not only are we able to protect the device as far as settings are concerned, we're able to protect the applications, but by using rights management, we can also protect those corporate data files that they're creating with these applications. So that kind of completes that whole cycle as far as protecting the device, protecting the app, protecting the data. All right, so with that, I'm going to get Heidi just to quickly switch over and finish up the demos now that we have all the connectivity.
Yeah, just to show you,
and
I didn't lie.
And then we'll take some Q&A just to make sure we weren't lying and there was no smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, so since it took long enough for the app that I published during the previous demo, it actually shows up on the company portal for this app. And I'm just going to use this one, not the good demo app that I pre-staged so that you can see
and
that.
And you can see there's no smoke and mirrors because instead of saying four, it says FRO. So you know that it is actually the one that we created during this session.
Yeah.
So this is all part of our master plan. The demos before that we purposely made sure we had no network connectivity so that we could show that the application did show up. So.
Yep. So once the installation
That's
finishes...
That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Once the installation finishes, you actually could see a flyout to tell you that it's completing the installation. So we can monitor that progress while we switch to Windows Phone. So as you can see, this one also shows up. So I think we can just go ahead and doing the install. So remember, that's the Apex just specific for the phone that I published. It just didn't finish the complete flow.
All right, so while those are installing,
yeah, so
we'll
the
leave
phone,
them running.
Yeah, the phone actually installs really fast. The Windows one also finished.
You see the notification pops up and says, hey, it's installed. Thank you for playing.
Yeah. I think this one. Yeah, that's the new app that I just deployed and installed. And on the Windows side, this app is also installed. You can see the details here. It says installed. You can reinstall later on if something goes wrong and this new app shows up on the desktop.
All right. So I'd like to open it up now for questions. I'd love to hear your feedback on what's going on. You'll notice that there's a bunch of speakers, a bunch of microphones around the room, so if you could please use that. For those of you who are about to leave, thank you very much for attending this early morning session. I usually like to call this session one of those Robin Williams type sessions because it starts at 8:30, which is, oh my goodness, it's very early. For those of you that understand that reference, I appreciate that, and thank you for your time. I'd like to open up for questions if you've got. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Don't forget to fill out your evaluation forms, obviously. Yes?
No.
They should be. I'm looking for my tech guy. He's there somewhere.
This
Number
microphone.
Two, please.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
There you go. Can hear you now. There we go.
There was a slide earlier in the presentation where you talked about the Intune full client and the MDM channel.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between the two? I was a little confused with that.
Yeah, so the Intune full client will run on pretty much basically the Windows PC platform. Obviously, with Windows 8.1, you can actually run either the Intune full client, which is the native client we've had in Intune since we originally shipped Intune, or you can leverage the OMDM capabilities, the MDM capabilities in Windows 8.1 and above. So for that particular OS, you actually have a choice as to which one you would like to use.
So
the full client, for example, will do software updates, management, any malware protection as well.
And MSI installation.
And MSI installation, yep.
Yeah.
So depending on what kind of management, level of management you might want to choose which agent you actually install on that platform.
And that's just for 8.1, right? Windows 8.1.
For OMDM agent, inbox agent, it's for 8 and up.
8 and up.
So 8 and 8 RT and then 8.1 RT enterprise and professional.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Number 3.
In regards to Windows Phone, you guys mentioned the onboarding process.
Yep.
And I've actually tested and tried the trial process that you guys had there. Pretty easy to set up for the most part. But any plans on improving that process, both from setup perspective in Intune and Configuration Manager, and also on the client perspective to make it consistent with some of the other operating systems where you download the company portal right from the App Store
and
you enroll using that process?
We're actually working on it. Internally, we also think that the process isn't as smooth as we would want it to be. But there were some platform limitations for Windows Phone at the time. So we had to make the choice of using the current process. But we're really actively looking at the process very similar to Windows, that you can get the company portal from the public store. And also the co-signing certificate is only used when you really want to siloed apps, not something that you absolutely need for enrollment.
Yeah, that's the biggest one, at least for me, is the certificate that you need to obtain. I believe
absolutely.
That can be simplified.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we have definitely been working very closely with both Windows and Windows Phone on how we can streamline that process, especially around the need for that certificate just for the company portal, especially if you're not necessarily distributing your line of business applications and things like that.
We're well aware of your pain. Thank you.
Thanks. I have one more, but I'll let you
let
go
me
first.
Jump to two, and then we'll come back to your second question.
So on corporate-owned devices right now, people have the ability to uninstall the corporate store and kind of unenroll themselves from the system. Is there going to be a future enhancement where if it's a corporate-owned device, it's marked that way in SCCM, that they won't be able to uninstall the store?
That will be the plan. It's really going to come down to what capabilities we're able to leverage from each platform. So I can't say categorically, but that's something, obviously, it's something that for those corporate-based devices, you want to make sure you can lock down. But it's going to come down to us working with those various platform owners to make sure that they provide that capability, not just for us, but you know, as we're talking to Windows, we want to make sure it's available to all of our competitors, and then for iOS and Android, making sure it's available to all of the MDM vendors as well. So it is something we're very conscious of, especially around things like kiosk-based devices, task worker-type, retail-type devices, being able to prevent the user from opting out of management, if you like. One of the other things you also may want to look at is a conditional access work that's also going on in that space. It doesn't directly apply to those corporate-based devices, but it does provide some of the carrots that you may want to have for the other types of mobile devices you're managing as well. So it's definitely something that needs to be in place, but we continue to work with the platform vendors to provide that functionality.
Cool, thanks.
Right. Thank you.
Second question.
Yeah, glad to see the work you guys are doing with the DEP, Device Enrollment Program, and the bulk enrollment there. I would like to actually see that on the Surface Pro side as well. I think those tablets are being used in that fashion as well, or there's a need or requirement there that we want to use the Surface Pro tablets where they're locked onto a kiosk mode. So any plans there?
You can definitely talk to the Windows team about that. but as far as corporate-owned devices, I think the tablet space is probably the most interesting space. So, I mean, you hit it on the head there as far as being able to manage those Surface devices as corporate-owned devices and locking them down. So that's all I'll say on that matter. Definitely talk to the Windows team. But we have definitely made it clear to them as we talk to them. It's very important that, obviously, customers also explain, hey, we would be very interested in purchasing a large number of Surface devices if we had this capability. So please make sure you voice those requirements to your local account team as well as to anybody that's currently here at the conference. But it's definitely something we're aware of, and we continue to remind Windows that this is something that is very important to their corporate and enterprise success.
So. All right, well, good luck.
All right, thank you. Number two.
How can organizations deploy APEX files for third-party Microsoft Store apps?
So right now, Microsoft Store apps, they're really, I think what you're leaning toward to is like the volume purchase program type of thing that you can bulk deploy apps for the store apps. Right now, we don't have such capability. There's a pilot program to deploy some free store apps, but that's still a pilot. So that's why I didn't mention anything about that yet. But on the MDM agent side, that capability is already built in, shipped in the latest update. But it's a matter of like who can get into that program. It's invitation only based right now, because it doesn't, right now it's just really a focus on free apps for some customers that they can use that to deploy.
It really comes down to a contractual obligation between the store, and it's not just the Microsoft store, it's all the stores, and the actual vendor
themselves.
And the ISVs. So we have the technology, we have the capability to deploy it when those two parties agree that they're going to allow those applications to be made available to customers.
But that's a great question. That's definitely something we need to address.
Also, is there like an Apex bundler that you can get? Like we have like an MSI packager today?
The Apex bundle right now I showed is kind of different from what you you were asking. So yeah. We currently don't have such plan yet. But what exactly?
TS1, you have like an installer package that you can basically
what's installed in the system, like create a snapshot, if you will, and then create an Apex file based on that, like how an MSI installer would work today.
Thank you for that feedback.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we have to work with the Windows team on what capabilities they're going to provide as far as being able to bundle. And I don't know what their capabilities today are with their SDK, so we'd have to look into that. I just don't have an answer. Okay. I don't see
any
more questions. All right. Well, we'll be down in front if you up.
So questions? We have a few more.
We got a few more. Okay. I don't know whether people are lining up or just standing around.
I mean the related content.
I didn't add all these, but there's a whole bunch of other sessions you guys can go to.
So a lot of these new features look awesome, but some of us just got done getting off of XP like a month ago, so we're lucky to be on 7. Are there any thoughts about bringing things like the Wi-Fi profiles, the web applications, all this stuff to the Windows 7 platform that we're probably going to be on for the next 12 to 37, 720 months?
So we do have a PC web-based portal that you can actually deploy web apps on Windows 7.
TechNet, or it actually says...
So you're talking specifically about the integration between Config Manager and Intune.
Well, not just that, but if you go and you look and it says to deploy Wi-Fi profiles, the end device has to be Windows 8, Android, or iOS.
Oh.
Yeah, we actually need
include Win 7.
We actually need the platform to support those capabilities as well.
Right.
So she'll probably know Win 7 anytime soon.
Why don't you upgrade to 8?
I only have a certain amount of control over our product. I have some degree of communications that I can have with the Windows team. But that's we basically need them to provide that capability before we can deploy to that environment. There are some great upgrade options available to you, I will say that. All right.
So I have one here. You know on your slide that you had the future?
Yep.
What is that time frame?
So that time frame, the list of features I had there is in the Q4 time frame, so this year. You have a question over there, number one?
Yeah, just real quick. So the slides you had at the beginning of the session around the troubleshooting the register keys, I went out to the site to see if the presentation was posted. It's not currently out there. Is that going to be reposted or published?
Well, thank you for that. We will make sure it is. It should be. Okay. Now, we may have not. It should have been published.
It should have been.
So
but
we'll
had a glitch
work with SilverFox
to
make sure that happens. It should have been posted. So I'm not quite sure why it wasn't. So we'll follow up after the session and make sure it's posted.
If you still couldn't find it, you can shoot me an email, and I'll make sure you have a copy of it.
Great, thanks.
Any more questions? I can't see way at the back, so if you've got questions up there, I can't see a thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
all right, we'll be down
room.
In front until they kick us out for the next session. So, although it looks like people are coming down to kick us out. So.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.